Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. My name is Jeff Greider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and today we're talking about Israel, we're talking about Jerusalem, and we're talking about the literal, actual, real-time fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Out of Israel today comes the stunning news that the fate of the next prime minister of the Jewish nation is in the hands of a Muslim named Mansour Abbas, showing us just how close we are to the soon-coming two-state solution. Abbas said, now is the time for change. And that change is literally leaping off the pages of your King James Bible. Joel chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 say this, "For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, May 14th, 1948, and I will also gather all nations and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat." That's the second coming at the Battle of Armageddon. That's Revelation 19. "And will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land." On this episode of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast, we are looking at the amazing prophetical changes underway right now in the Holy Land, and we see that the Jews are on a path that leads them directly into the eye of the storm known as the time of Jacob's trouble. What God used Donald Trump to put into place, the Abraham Accords, is exactly what we told you it was. The foundational pillars of the Daniel 9:27 covenant that will be confirmed by Antichrist. And that's how close we are to the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, which happens first. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for waking us up today. We thank you for the clothes on our back and the roof over our head and the food on the table. And Lord, we thank you, God, that you have allowed us to be alive during this amazing time of end times prophecy. And we are stunned as we watch it come to pass, things that I have been reading about for 30 years, and now I get to see it happen with my own eyes and hear this with my own ears. And God, we are glad and we are grateful that you have allowed us to be here at this time, and let us not squander this moment. Lord, you've placed us here at Now the End Begins. Everybody who works here and everybody who comes here, all of us, you've raised up this end times global remnant army of believers, Lord, and you use Now the End Begins to connect us all around the world, Lord. And let us not waste the time that we have left. And we are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We are waiting for Flight 777 to take off on Titus 213 Airlines. And Lord, as we wait, give us power to preach and teach the gospel of the grace of God, to see lost people get saved, Lord, and to see saved people get on fire for you, even in these final closing moments of the church age. Thank you, God, for letting us live long enough to see this and experience this. Let us be able to use this time and the gift that you have given us, Lord, to get something done for you that will make it through the judgment seat of Christ. And we ask all these things, Father God, in Jesus' name, amen. In Isaiah chapter 28, if you want one particular chapter of the book of Isaiah that is just literally filled to overflowing with information about the end times, that would be Isaiah chapter 28, in my opinion. I find myself coming to Isaiah chapter 28 time and time and time again, because there is so much in this particular chapter Now, don't get me wrong. Isaiah is one of those books that is, in terms of the Old Testament prophets that we read about in the Old Testament, I understand that Jesus says about John the Baptist that that there's not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. And I get that, and I understand that, because John the Baptist was the forerunner for Jesus Christ. John the Baptist stood boldly against the Sadducees and the Pharisees and kicked them out and told them to repent and bring back fruits of that repentance. John the Baptist stood up and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." How amazing was the position and the role that Jesus gave to his cousin, John the Baptist. But when I'm reading Old Testament prophets in terms of Bible prophecy, the book of Isaiah, to me, and again, we could debate about this all day long, but with the amount of time that I spend in the Bible, which is fairly considerable, I find myself coming back to Isaiah over and over and over. And within Isaiah, you have Isaiah chapter 28, which has so much about the time of Jacob's trouble, the great tribulation, and everything related to that. Now, I said all that to say this, Isaiah 28, 14 through 18. Isaiah 28, 14 through 18. "Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement." This is the Daniel 9:27 covenant, which you also, this is all part and parcel of the time of Jacob's trouble. "When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone." This is Jesus Christ, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. "He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant," Daniel 9:27, "the Abraham Accords." That's right. I said Abraham Accords. Isaiah 28:18, "And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell," death and hell is the fourth horse of the four horsemen of the apocalypse in Revelation chapter 6. Death and hell is horse number 4. "And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it." Now, this is what Isaiah 28 is saying. And he is saying that this covenant that the Jewish people are going to confirm with Antichrist, the Abraham Accords, and yes, God used Donald Trump to bring judgment on the entire world. And if you've been a longtime reader of Now the End Begins, we told you that. We told you back in 2016 that God was going to use Donald Trump to bring about something that we called the global shaking. How many of you in the chat room, remember reading that story back in 2016? We warned you that God was going to use Donald Trump to bring about something that we called the global shaking. And on December 24th of 2016, we told you, we warned you. Now, why did I vote for Donald Trump? Let's get all our secrets out of the closet. Let's get everything on the table. As Dr. Ruckman used to say, let's put all 52 cards straight up. Why did I vote for Donald Trump not once but twice? Because, like I told you 5 years ago, God showed me through prayer not through signs or dreams or visions or psychic powers or anything like that. God showed me through prayer 5 years ago that Donald Trump was his man to fulfill end times Bible prophecy. And that's why I, if you remember, I switched my support early on in the end of 2015. And I took a lot of heat. I took a lot of nasty emails from people. And after I threw my support for Donald Trump, a lot of people stopped coming to Now the End Begins for almost 2 years because everybody got mad at me. And that's fine. I have no problem with that. But did God use Donald Trump to start the global shaking? He absolutely, no question about it, hands down, used Donald Trump to start the global shaking. What is the global shaking? It's the Abraham Accords. The Abraham Accords is the platform, and listen to me now, the Abraham Accords is the foundational pillars of the Daniel 9:27 covenant with Antichrist. The Abraham Accords is the linchpin that makes all that possible. And who or whom did God use to bring about the Abraham Accords? On August 13th of 2020, he used Donald Trump. Why did I support Donald Trump? Because God told me 4 years earlier that he was going to use Donald Trump to bring about Bible prophecy. And one thing that we always say here at Now the End Begins, you've got to get just as excited about the positive Bible prophecy as you do about the negative Bible prophecy. I'm not looking forward to seeing the nation of Israel split down the middle. I'm not looking forward to Antichrist and his armies in Luke 21 overrunning the nation of Israel. I'm not looking forward to the people who, after we leave in the rapture, are going to be left behind to face the mark of the beast. I am not rejoicing in any of those events for the events that they are. But I rejoice in those events because they have been prophesied by God. And if you're a real Bible-believing Christian, if you're a real Bible-believing Christian, you will get just as excited with the negative prophecy as you will with the positive prophecy. And why? Because anything that God has prophesied, when it starts to come to pass, you should get excited about that. Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 5. This is the verse that I've been telling you guys you need to memorize. Habakkuk 1:5. Behold ye among the heathen and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days, which though it be told you, which you will not believe, though it be told you. And what do we see happening right now? We see the Abraham Accords and today's story. Amazingly, the fate of the next leader of the nation of Israel is in the hands of a Muslim. His name is Mansour Abbas. Some of you know who this guy is. Some of you don't know who this guy is. After today, you will know exactly who Mansour Abbas is. You're going to hear from him today. Why is it important? Because the two-state solution is right around the corner. It will happen. It is a guarantee. And it is going to take place partly because of the work that God used Donald Trump to do with starting the Abraham Accords. And here we are. We have finally arrived at this pivotal moment in history. How exciting is all that? Are you excited by that? You should be. I want you to be. Take a listen to Benjamin Netanyahu asking his rivals to come home and to align with him. Benjamin Netanyahu, I'm going to step you into this slowly today because I'm going to show you Bible prophecy is happening right now. Not tomorrow, not next month, not one day someday, Bible prophecy is happening at this very moment right now. And I don't know about you, but I am bouncing off the walls with excitement because I can hear the engines on flight 777. And that plane is getting ready to taxi on the tarmac. And when that door closes, no more passengers on that plane. You better make sure that you're on flight 777. You better make sure that you have your ticket booked. Because if you don't, you're going to miss it. And you're going to be left behind to face the armies of Antichrist. I don't know if you're ready to do that. I don't know. If you're not, the only way you can get on flight 777 is you got to be born again. Now, the vast majority of people who come here are absolutely born again. There's no question about it. But not everybody. Not everybody who comes to Now the End Begins is a born again Christian. And if you want to have your flight booked, you want to have your seat reserved, then you better get on flight 777 or you're going to miss the whole thing. Take a listen to Benjamin Netanyahu. He's encouraging his rivals to come back home and to align with him.
Shifting focus to Israel now, where Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has appealed to two right-wing rivals to come back home and align themselves with him. The request comes in a bid to break the deadlock following Israel's inconclusive election. Last week, Israel witnessed the fourth election in 2 years, and Netanyahu's conservative Likud party received 52 seats in the 120-member parliament. A party needs at least 57 seats to reach a governing majority. For the first time since Israel was founded in 1948, an Arab party which won only 4 seats has emerged as a potential kingmaker. Party leader Mansour Abbas has said that he is open to offers. Netanyahu spoke to voters in his first televised speech since election night, but he made no mention of any possible alliance with Abbas's United Arab List. He focused on two former right-wing allies, Naftali Bennett, who served as his defense minister, and Gideon Saar, who was one of the leading members of Likud Party.
אני פונה אליכם, נפתלי בנט וגדעון סער. זה לא סוד שהיו בינינו מחלוקות לאורך השנים, אבל ידענו גם להתגבר עליהם ולעבוד יחד לטובת אזרחי ישראל. ואני אומר, בואו נשים את המשקעים האישיים מאחורינו. בואו נקים ממשלת ימין יציבה שתחזיק מעמד לשנים. מדינת ישראל ועתידה הם הדבר החשוב באמת.
The law gives the president the power to choose a candidate to try and form a new government. Israeli President Reuven Rivlin will begin meeting with political parties on Monday. A candidate is likely to be picked by April 7th.
So there you have the current Prime Minister of the Nation of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, and he is ignoring Mansour Abbas. And that is not going to be a good thing for Benjamin Netanyahu because Mansour Abbas, he quite possibly holds the keys for the next leader of the nation of Israel. You know, a number of years ago, I would listen to the people, the end times commentators talking about Israel. And as the population of Israel has increased over the last couple of decades, you have a whole lot more Jewish people than ever before, but you also have a whole lot more Muslim Arab people than ever before as well. And it's only natural that as these Muslim Arabs begin to grow up within the structure of Israel, and they are growing up as Muslims side by side with the Jews, when these people get elected into office, and they already have started to become elected into office, what you're going to find is that the two-state solution is going to create itself. And for about 20 years now, people have been calling for the nation of Israel to be divided and to have a official and formal Palestinian state be created alongside the nation of Israel. And Benjamin Netanyahu has always objected to the two-state solution. But as we're going to see today, it looks like the two-state solution, it's kind of like a seed that was planted back on May 14th, 1948. And it's been growing alongside with the Jewish nation. And now that seed has turned into a bud and it has pushed its way out of the dirt. And now the two-state solution is literally going to create itself. And turn to Joel chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Joel chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And I want to show you something amazing here. Joel chapter 3, verse 1. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Now look at the last four words of Joel 3, 2. And parted my land. Why does God institute the battle of Armageddon that we read about in Ezekiel chapter 39? Why does God bring about the battle of Armageddon? Because of Joel chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. They have scattered the Jews and they have parted my land. Now, if you look down into verse 4, Joel chapter 3, verse 4. Yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon, and all the coasts of Palestine? There was no nation called Palestine when Joel wrote Joel 3, verse 4. Isn't that an amazing thing? Joel is talking about the coasts of the nation of Palestine, which did not exist when Joel wrote Joel chapter 3, verse 4. And yet, in our day, what do we see? We see the nation of Palestine. We see Mansour Abbas, who is about to decide, or help decide, who the next leader of the nation of Israel is going to be. How amazing is that? Joel 3, 4 says, O Tyre and Zidon and all the coasts of Palestine. There was no Palestine when Joel wrote Joel 3, 4. Yet there is a Palestine today. So how exciting is that? That we are literally watching these events begin to come to pass. Joe Biden, the pretend president of the United States, he does not support the Abraham Accords. But his support is not required. Why? Because all the Arab nations that ring the nation of Israel, that ring around the nation of Israel, turn to Psalm 83. Turn to Psalm 83. The reason why all these Muslim nations are so excited for the Abraham Accords is because of Psalm chapter 83. Psalm chapter 83, starting in verse 1, a song or psalm of Asaph. Keep not thou silence, O God, hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God, for lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent, they are confederate against thee. So Psalm 83 verses 1 through 5 tells us that in the very end of time, leading up into the time of Jacob's trouble, that the Muslim nations that surround the nation of Israel, which was regathered on May 14th, 1948, they form a confederacy against the Jews, against Israel. That confederacy is the Abraham Accords. And they have six nations so far that have signed on. Benjamin Netanyahu says there's another four nations coming. And how incredible is that? That we are seeing not only Joel chapter 3, but Psalm 83 coming to life in glorious technicolor. And in Psalm 83, we see the Muslim Confederacy, and that is taking place right now, right here, with the Abraham Accords. Benjamin Netanyahu said just 2 weeks ago that four more Muslim nations are getting ready to join the Abraham Accords. Now, would you like to know exactly how many nations are going to join the Abraham Accords? I'll show you, because the Bible does not leave you to guess for yourself. In Psalm chapter 83, we read this, starting in verse 5. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. The tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab and the Haganaries, Gabal and Ammon and Amalek, the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. Aser is also joined with them. They have Hopen, the children of Lot, Selah. So here you have all the Muslim nations that are going to be joining the Abraham Accords. You have Iran, Iraq, Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, Egypt. All these nations will join the Abraham Accords. And that's exactly what Psalm 83 said would take place. And I don't know about you, but that is incredibly exciting to me. I have been following these prophecies literally for about the past 30 years. And we brought you the incredible story just the other day. Flight 777 closer than ever, as Muslims across the Middle East are warming to the idea of a third Jewish temple in Jerusalem. Are you ready for that? Are you ready to see the beginning phases of the construction of the third Jewish temple? I believe that we're going to see ground broke on that before we are taken up in the pre-tribulation rapture. That's right. I believe that that we will see the construction workers breaking ground on the third Jewish temple before the pre-tribulation rapture of the church takes place. Greg says, nothing like the King James Bible to let you know what's going on. And I agree with that statement wholeheartedly. For 30 years, I have been King James only. I was King James only for 5 years before I even knew that there was a King James only controversy. I have never not been King James only. And one of the blessings and benefits of being one of those narrow-minded fundamentalists who is King James only is that you get God's preserved word and you know what's happening and you know what's getting ready to take place. And a lot of people, they're very, very surprised with the accuracy rate that we have here at Now the End Begins when we talk about end times prophetical events. A lot of people are pleasantly surprised that the vast majority of the things that we talk about turn out to be true from a prophetical standpoint. And that's a pretty tough thing to do because you're talking about events that haven't happened at the time that you're talking about them. But over the last 12 years, as God has led and guided us and continues to do so, we enjoy a very, very, very high accuracy rate when we talk about future end times events. But the reason for that is, there's a reason for that. Because we believe the King James Bible, where God has preserved his word for English-speaking people without error. And we have had so many Bible studies recently where we talk about how the other versions absolutely lead you in the wrong direction. They lead you down a wrong path, and they bring you to a different conclusion. And that's why I constantly invite people, if you have an ASV, RSV, ESV, the Message Good News for Modern Man, or the NIV Bible, if you have one of those Bibles, I invite you right now to take that Bible and throw it in the garbage where it belongs, and send me an email, info@nowtheendbegins.com, and we will replace that Bible completely free of charge with a Ruckman Reference King James Authorized Version Study Bible. And we want to replace your corrupt Bible so badly that we'll do it for free. We have people who regularly contribute to Now the End Begins so we can make that possible. Just last week, we purchased another couple of cases of the Ruckman Reference Bibles, and we probably buy 4 to 6 cases every single month. And 90% of those Bibles go out completely free of charge. If you'd like one, all you have to do is email me, info@nowtheendbegins.com, and we will be happy to get one to you. So, now that I have given the introduction for today's program, let's get right into the heart of the matter. I want you to meet a man by the name of Mansour Abbas. And Mansour Abbas is he is the leader of a Muslim party in Israel. It says here, Mansour Abbas is the head of a conservative Islamic party who has emerged as a kingmaker following Israel's latest inconclusive election called for change Thursday without endorsing Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu or his rivals. Mansour Abbas's primetime address was carried live by multiple Israeli broadcasters, underscoring his pivotal role in determining whether a stable governing coalition is possible after last week's elections. The vote, which is Israel's fourth vote in 2 years, delivered the veteran premier's Likud 30 seats in the 120-seat parliament, making it the biggest party, but a majority of 61 is required to form a government. So, Mansour Abbas, if he gives his support to Benjamin Netanyahu, the votes that Mansour Abbas's little party will bring to the table will change the election results and put Benjamin Netanyahu in power as the next prime minister of the nation of Israel. Now, ask yourself this question. What do you think that man would ask for in return? Should he be willing to swing his support towards Benjamin Netanyahu? Do you think he's going to do it out of the goodness of his heart? Do you think he's going to do it because he's a nice guy? No. This is what he said. He said, "My name is Mansour Abbas, a proud Muslim and Arab and a citizen of the State of Israel. I am the leader of the largest and most senior movement in Arab society," said Abbas, referencing the Islamic movement in Israel, which his party, Ra'am, is associated. His speech was brief, lasting only around 7 minutes, and in just a minute, I'm going to bring you what Mansour Abbas had to say. And what he has to say is absolutely in line with the Abraham Accords. And when you hear what Mansour Abbas is going to tell you about the future of the nation of Israel, it's going to blow your mind. He said this, "Reality is changing and we are refusing to recognize that. Israel has changed its face, but she refuses to open her eyes. And Abbas says, now is the time for change. And you and I know exactly what type of change that he's talking about. When Abbas says that now is the time for change, and when you realize that a Muslim has the power to decide the next prime minister of the state of Israel, and that man says, now is the time for change, you are smack dab middle of your King James Bible, and this is what we're seeing. We are seeing the pillars of prophecy assembling themselves. So, without any further ado, take a listen to the remarks that were made just the other day by the head of the Israel Islamist Party, Mansour Abbas. Take a listen.
In Israeli politics, we are still waiting for Mansour Abbas to begin speaking. It looks like he's ready to start. Let's go listen.
Citizens of Israel, good evening. I stand in front of you today in the atmosphere of the Passover holiday and the month of Ramadan and carry a prayer of hope and uncompromising striving for coexistence based on mutual respect and real equality. The common denominator is greater than what separates us. The Holy Quran guides us. Humans, we created you from one man and one woman and separate you for peoples and tribes for you to know each other. I, Mansour Abbas, the man of the Islamist movement, a proud citizen of Israel and standing ahead of the prime and greatest political a movement in the Arabic society, believe in the idea of equality and tolerance between the people in on behalf of myself and the people who elected us to create an opportunity for a shared life, for a shared life in this holy country for all three religions and the two people. As the chairman of the United Islamist Movement, Ram, that looks to respect every person to and despise the violence against every person due to its political or national heritage, I stand here and ask to say that it is time, this is time to listen to the other, to acknowledge the narratives and search for the common. The reality is changing, and we refuse to acknowledge that the state of Israel is changing and it refuses to open its eyes. We do not have to agree on everything, and surely we will have quite a few disagreements, but we must allow ourselves and our children the right and the opportunity to feel one another, to each and every one of us.
Did you get what he was saying about the humans? That's kind of creepy, don't you think? Is he saying that he represents some other sort of group other than the human beings? Well, don't forget, we are getting ready to see the appearance of the Genesis 6 giants, and they are fallen angels and their offspring, and they are absolutely not human. So I just find that par for the course, that he would be making strange comments about humans as if he was not part of the human race. Very, very interesting.
Has a name. There's a culture a story and a narrative. And if we are not wise to bring down the ignorance and racism, we will leave to the next generation a complex situation, a dangerous and above all impossible reality. Unlike all politicians that have engaged in banning from right to left, I did not ban anyone. My attitude is what yes and not the no. I came here to represent a population that is over 20% of the population of Israel that suffers cardinal problems in all levels of life, from personal safety, housing, and self-fulfillment. We have a chance to bring about a change and create a great national civil a leadership that would lead the public for a place that would create trust cross-sectoral, so that we will be able to move forward for a better decade. If the road in Wadi Ara is problematic, it does not recognize whether the person who drives on top of it is Jewish or Arab. If there's a problem in the hospital of Soroka, it hurts people in both Beersheba and Rahat. And if my neighbor is hungry, myself and my family are in danger. If I do not live in peace within my country, we will not be able to strive for peace with our neighbors. This is the time to search for the common denominator. It is the time to create a different reality for all people of this country.
Did you hear what he said? He said, it is time to create a different reality. Now, what's the current reality? The current reality is that the nation of Israel has been restored to the land that they were driven out from in 70 AD. And in fulfillment of Bible prophecy, the Jewish people have been replanted back in the very, very same place that God drove them out from almost 2,000 years ago. And for the last 73 years, the nation, this May 14th, next month, May 14th, it will be the 73rd anniversary of the regathering of the nation of Israel. That is the current reality. Mansour Abbas is calling for a new reality, and his new reality is right there in the heart of end times Bible prophecy.
There are many ways to describe, and will continue to rise. Even after my speech, the kingmaker and other, I am not blinded by these descriptions. I do not wish to become a part of any block from right or left. I am here from a different block, the block who elected me to serve my people and gave me the right to turn the demands of the Arabic public that stayed as demands into a real working plan. Also, the recommendations in terms of the Ram Party. I recommend all of us to change the reality. We are here to look forward. We're expecting that others from right and left adopt this, our attitude. Innovativeness. It is in an essence creating anew. We live in the same climate. It is time for the change. Thank you very much.
There you have it. There is Islamist party head Mansour Abbas, and that was his entire speech, unedited, interpreted, of course, because he was speaking in Hebrew, which was interesting. And so, what do you have? You have Muslims growing up side by side with Jewish people. And this May 14th, it will be 73 years since the nation of Israel was regathered. Here's a fun fact. Back in 1897, the first Zionist Congress took place in Basel, Switzerland. And a man by the name of Theodor Herzl, on September 3rd of 1987, he made this astounding proclamation. On September 3rd, 1897, Theodor Herzl said this: "At Basel, I founded the Jewish state. If I say this out loud today, I would be greeted by universal laughter. In 5 years, perhaps, and certainly in 50 years, everyone will perceive it." And that is exactly what Theodor Herzl, who is called the father of the modern-day Zionist movement, and we're going to talk about Zionism in just a minute. Theodor Herzl, on September 3rd, 1897, said that he founded the State of Israel, and in 50 years, the entire world was going to know about it. When you take 1897 and add 50 to it, that brings you right up to 1947. And 1947, that started events which, when they were fully realized on May 14th, 1948, created the modern-day state of the nation of Israel. Theodor Herzl was on the money almost exactly to the day that it happened. And you and I are living in a time period where the rest of the things that have been prophesied about the regathering of the nation of Israel are beginning to come to full view now. In Zechariah 14, verses 20-21, it's amazing how many verses related to the time of Jacob's trouble are verses 20-21. If you haven't heard our Bible study about that, you need to go back and take a listen. A couple of months ago, we did a Bible study on all the Bible, well, not all of them, because there's a lot more than what we covered, but we covered about six pages in a Word document of verses that all had 2021. And when you read all of these things and put them together, it is astounding. It really kind of leads you to believe that 2021 is going to be an absolutely pivotal year for the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. And that's exactly what we're seeing. So if you get a chance to listen to our Bible study on Bible verses that point to 2021, please go back into the archives, and you can go to nowtheendbegins.com and just click on NTEB Radio, and you'll see every program that we've done right there in our archives. You can also hear what we do on iTunes and Sermon Audio, Spotify, Google Play, and Spreaker. We are all over the place, absolutely all over the place, in a good way, though. So in Zechariah 14, verses 20 and 21, "In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seethe therein." And in that day, the day that Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne of David in Jerusalem, at the beginning of the thousand-year millennial reign of perfect rule and righteousness, during that time period that Revelation 1 and Revelation 5 tells us that we, the born-again church, body of Christ, bride of Christ, we are going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ as kings and priests. And during that time period, Zechariah 14, 20 and 21 tells us, "And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. Back on August 19th of 2019, Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas said that his people are the biblical Canaanites. And that's what Mahmoud Abbas said 2 years ago. He said, "We are the Canaanites. We will remain in our homeland, and the outsiders on this land have no right in this country. The land is for the inhabitants. The land is for the Canaanites who were here 5,000 years ago." And then Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas, not to be confused with Mansour Abbas, Mahmoud Abbas said, "We are the Canaanites." Well, Zechariah 14, 20 and 21 says that when Jesus returns, no more Canaanites, no more Palestinians, the same Palestinians that the prophet Joel said would be in their land. And the Palestinians are in their land. Doesn't matter how they got there. Doesn't matter that Yasser Arafat, who was a pretend Muslim and he was married to a Roman Catholic woman. A lot of people are shocked when you say that. But the person who is the father of the nation of Palestine, Yasser Arafat, who was a Muslim terrorist, Yasser Arafat was married to a Roman Catholic woman who did not convert to Islam. A lot of people are surprised when you tell them that. But it's really no surprise because we know the role that Revelation 17 and 18 says that the Roman Catholic Church will play in the end times. Are you surprised? I'm not surprised. Not one bit. Now, if we are where we say we are, and I want you to write this down, we are going to go out on a limb yet again. Most of you know that we have been saying for well over a year now, this article that Lori D. and myself wrote last year on who we think the biblical man of sin is. And we think, and I'm going to put the link into the chat room right now so you can see it for yourself, but we think that the biblical man of sin is Emmanuel Macron, who is the current president of France. He is the prince of, oh, I can't remember the name of that country. He is the prince of, is it Belgravia? Oh, I can't remember the name of the country that he's a prince of. It's Bel something. It's Belgravia. But suffice to say, if we are where we think we are, then you are about to see Emmanuel Macron forming a league with Mansour Abbas. Cheryl H. just said Andorra. I think that is right. I think that is right. So I'm going to go out on a limb yet again and write this down and see if it happens. If we are where we think we are, very shortly, next couple of days, next couple of weeks, a month at the most, you are going to see an article somewhere on some news channel showing you that Emmanuel Macron has reached out to Mansour Abbas. Let's see if that happens. Let's see if that takes place. And I know that he is in his home country of France. He has a lot of opposition from Marine Le Pen, and everybody's saying that it's her time and she's going to overthrow Macron as the president of France. Let's see if that happens. I don't think it will, but it might. It could, absolutely. But let's just see if sometime in the next couple of weeks, if we read an article about Emmanuel Macron reaching out to Mansour Abbas. And if that happens, when that happens, you are going to see that we are exactly where we think we are, which is we are watching the biblical man of sin getting ready to step out and reveal himself. And I believe that that is what we are going to see very, very soon. So now you know who Mansour Abbas is. Now you know what his role is. And it's an amazing thing that he is a kingmaker. Now we know Daniel. Turn to Daniel chapter 2. Turn to Daniel chapter 2, and we know ultimately who is responsible for putting leaders into place. But turn to Daniel 2, 20 and 21. There it is again. Daniel 2, 20 and 21. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." So Daniel 2, 20 and 21 tells us that it is God who raises up kings and it is God who removes kings. God put Barack Obama into place in America. And during the 8 years that Barack Obama was president of the United States, America reached a new level of distance from God. America reached a new pinnacle of rebellion to the God of the Bible. And under Barack Obama, the LGBTQ became a legally protected entity, all the way up to getting the Supreme Court in 2012 to institute same-sex marriage here in America. The Senate approved a bill under Obama that legalized sodomy and bestiality in the United States military. And it is Barack Obama who did all those things. It was Barack Obama who proclaimed the month of June to be LGBTQ plus Pride Month. That came from Barack Obama. So we have long said here that God raised up Barack Obama as judgment on America. And God raised up Donald Trump as judgment on the world. And that is a pretty good indicator of how God used Barack Obama and how God used Donald Trump. Donald Trump's time is done. He is not coming back. He may continue to do some things on social media or whatever he may be doing, but you will not see Donald Trump in the White House again. And why? Because he has fulfilled the role that God raised him up to do. And believe me, from an end times perspective, the fact that God used Donald Trump to institute the Abraham Accords. Now, that's a negative fulfillment of prophecy, but it is a major, major fulfillment of Bible prophecy. And we told you 5 years ago that God was going to use Trump in a very powerful, prophetical way. And there's really, at this point, until something new comes to pass, there's nothing bigger right now than the Abraham Accords in terms of Bible prophecy. Nothing bigger than that. That is literally what is shaking the entire world right now. You can't have world peace without peace in the Middle East. And you can't have peace in the Middle East without Jesus Christ. Now, Jessica in the chat room, she was saying, she was commenting on previous Bible studies that we have done where we talk about, just turn to Isaiah chapter 14. Turn to Isaiah chapter 14, and I want to show you something from the Bible that's really quite interesting. Well, everything from the Bible is quite interesting. But turn to Isaiah chapter 14. Jessica was talking about how God has, his chosen people. God has his church. God has all the things related to the people he's creating for himself. But the devil has his own counterfeit version of the same thing. You have God the Father, you have God the Son, and you have God the Holy Spirit. We call that the triune Godhead. Sometimes we call that the Trinity. But it is the Bible word for the Trinity. Trinity is actually a Catholic expression, but the biblical expression for the Trinity is the Godhead. And the Godhead is God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Dr. Ruckman used to say three in one and one in three, and the one in the middle died for me. And that's a pretty good way of talking about the Trinity. But in Isaiah chapter 14, this is what we see, and this is what Jessica was talking about. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 through 15. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 through 15. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, says Lucifer. And God says about Lucifer, verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. So what do you see? You see that God has his Christ, and the Christ of God is Jesus Christ. But the devil has a Christ also, and that Christ is the man, a man, whose number is 666, the Christ of the devil. And remember, Christ is not a name. Christ is a title. It means Messiah. And the Christ of God is Jesus Christ. But the Christ of Satan is Antichrist. It is the beast from Revelation chapter 13. And that's why we get so upset with people like John MacArthur. We get upset with people like John MacArthur because he says that if you find yourself living in the time of the Great Tribulation, John MacArthur says that if you were to take the mark of the beast, which is the mark of the beast of Satan, the Christ of Satan, and don't get nervous when I talk about the Christ of Satan. I'm talking about Christ with a small c, and I'm talking about Christ as a title. Christ is not the last name of Jesus. In Hebrew, we say Yeshua HaMashiach, which means Jesus the Messiah, or Jesus the Christ. But the devil has a Christ, and his Christ is going to be Judas raised from the dead. Now, this is why we get mad at people like John MacArthur, because John MacArthur has said, and he said this back in 2013, and he has had 8 years to change his position, and he refuses to change his position. John MacArthur shock claim that people can take the mark of the beast and still go to heaven. They cannot. Here is John MacArthur.
In regard to the latter half of the tribulation period, when men would be required to have the mark of the beast in order to buy or sell, my question is, once a person takes the mark, is there any possibility of him coming to Christ?
Yes. I think, you know, in the seven-year tribulation coming in the future, we're going to get into this, so probably a week from Sunday night, maybe this Sunday night, maybe a week, I'm not sure. But the tribulation is a seven-year period, right? The rapture of the church, seven-year tribulation, then Christ returns, sets up his kingdom. Now, in that seven-year period, really two things happen. God begins to judge the world with a series of holocausts, and at the same time, he begins to redeem his people, Israel. And in the process of this, The Antichrist establishes his rule, and in order to function in the economy of the Antichrist, you have to take the mark of the beast. Now, the question is, if you're living in the tribulation period, and you take this mark, in other words, you identify with the beast's empire, will you still be able to be redeemed? And I think the answer to that is yes. Yes. Otherwise, there would be no salvation of anybody in the end of the tribulation. So I don't think the fact that someone takes that is a sentence to it, to permanency, any more than you.
Now, John MacArthur may be a saved man. I hope he is. John MacArthur may be a Christian, and he probably is. But John MacArthur is not a Bible believer. Why do I say that? Because of Revelation chapter 14, verses 9 through 12. John MacArthur is not a Bible believer. Turn to Revelation 14, verses 9 through 12. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast in his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the image, the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." Now, why do I say that John MacArthur is not a Bible believer? Because the Bible says, if any man worship the beast in his image. I'll say that again. The Bible says, if any man shall worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. In the time of Jacob's trouble and the great tribulation, taking the mark of the beast is an unforgivable sin. God will not forgive you. If you are listening to this program after all of us have been removed in the rapture, if you were left behind after the rapture took place, if you missed the rapture, and you're trying to figure out if you should take the mark of the beast or not, do not take it. I am talking to people in the future right now. If you have missed the rapture of the church and you are living under Antichrist, I'm talking to people in the future. You never know what God's going to do with this program. You never know. You might as well prepare for it. If you are living under Antichrist, if you missed the rapture of the church and you're thinking about taking the mark of the beast, do not take it. God will never, ever, 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 never, ever forgive you. John MacArthur was 1,000% wrong. Do not listen to John MacArthur. I am not making a personal attack on the man. I am warning you that if you take the mark of the beast, God will never forgive you. You could take pliers and pull it out of your body. You could, if you take the mark of the beast, it doesn't matter what you do or say after that, because God will never hear you and he will never listen. And you will wind up in a place called hell. Jessica just said, pray for John MacArthur. Absolutely. Pray that he repents of such horrific false doctrine, because that's exactly what it is. So if you from the future are somehow listening to this broadcast, do not take the mark of the beast. God will never, ever, ever forgive you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. 2 Thessalonians 2, 8 through 12. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all powers and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's 2 Thessalonians 2, 8 through 12. Antichrist is revealed on the heels of the rapture of the church. Antichrist comes with signs and lying wonders. The people who rejected the gospel of the grace of God while the church was still on earth are rebuked. Those same people who are left behind are given a strong delusion. Those same people are damned. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 12, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. This is the time period that is going to be raised up after the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And that's why we have our billboard campaign right now. And some of you have been donating money that you have asked to be put towards the creation of new billboards. And we told you 2 weeks ago, actually like a week and a half ago, we told you that up in Milledgeville, Georgia, longtime NTEB readers and listeners, Bill and Marilyn, they asked me to create artwork for a digital billboard that would go up in Georgia. And that billboard has been up for almost 2 weeks now, and it is causing quite a stir up there in Milledgeville, Georgia. Bill and Marilyn placed this billboard at the intersection of a very, very busy series of roads. One is a university, the other one's a hospital. And so we are praying that this billboard, asking if will you be left behind? Man, how, wow, right? Will you be left behind? And that's a billboard that was put up by Bill and Marilyn up there in Georgia. And 2 days after that, we launched our own billboard down here in St. Augustine, Florida, a place that gets between 8 and 10 million vacationers every single year. And God allowed us to put this billboard at the intersection of Routes 1 and County Road 312. And we put up our own billboard here in St. Augustine, Florida, asking people if they are ready to fly. And that's getting a lot of people wondering, what do we mean? Titus 213 Airlines, are you ready to fly? Some people think that has something to do with COVID regulations and passport vaccinations. And that's causing a whole lot of people to look up what Titus 213 is, asking them if they are ready to fly. And we have a number of other billboards going up because you keep writing and donating and you say, let's put up some more billboards. And I've always said, the more you give, the more we can do. And we will do everything that we can while we wait for the Lord to return. So we are getting ready to put up another billboard on Route 207 leading to Route 95 because people have donated money for that to happen. And our big push for billboards is over the next 3 months. Our big push for billboards is over the next 3 months of April, May, and June. Now, why would we be having a Don't Be Left Behind billboard push during the months of April, May, and June? Well, That's because the Song of Solomon gives us a wonderful hidden reference to the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Song of Solomon chapter 2, really, like, if you've ever spent time reading Song of Solomon chapter 2, it's an amazing prophetical chapter talking about the bride and her beloved. And in Song of Solomon chapter 2, verses 10 through 13, Song of Solomon chapter 2, verses 10 through 13, my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, and the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, 10 through 13, talks about the possibility of a springtime rapture. So what are we doing here at Now the End Begins? We're having a springtime and spring, April, May, and the first part of June. And springtime in America is the same as springtime in the nation of Israel. And all Bible prophecy centers around timing in Israel. So what we're doing, God has put us in a tremendous position that we have enough resources for a billboard campaign. And I don't know about you, but that boggles my mind because billboards are not cheap. But billboards, people use billboards, companies use billboards for a reason, because they're very effective. Because if you put them on a busy road, thousands and thousands of people will read your message every single day. And so we are starting a billboard campaign. And if enough people send in money, we will do it in multiple states. And we're going to target liberal states. I don't know how big this thing is going to get. We're just going to see what the Lord's going to do with it. But that is our intention, to be a billboard witness. And Luke chapter 12, Luke chapter 12 says, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. And I understand what Luke 12 is talking about when we rightly divide it. But man, oh man, you can apply that very easily to our time, our dispensation of the church age. And for years, we've been preaching on the streets here in St. Augustine. Jessica says, can you put up a billboard on the Arrigoni Bridge in Connecticut? We would love to. And if we have some believers from Connecticut who will send in funds to do that, we will absolutely do that. And we're excited by everything that the Lord is doing here and everything that's taking place. And I am preparing for big things to take place this spring. I am absolutely preparing for big things to take place this spring. Whether or not it turns out to be the rapture, only God knows. I would not be foolish enough to be a date setter. Every single date setter for the past 2,000 years has been wrong. And we will not set a date for the rapture. But with everything that's happening in 2021, with everything that happened last year, with everything that's happening in Israel right now, with Mansour Abbas and Netanyahu and the Abraham Accords, in the 30 years that I've been saved, I have never seen a springtime that would be more ripe for the rapture. So we are preparing. We're ready to go and we're ready to stay. If the rapture does not happen this springtime, then we will recommit with a renewed vigor to standing on the front lines of the end times to get something done for the Lord. But should the rapture take place, should the rapture take place sometime this spring, maybe around the day of Pentecost on May 23rd, or May 20th, or May 21st, or maybe Saturday, May 22nd, when we're holding our tent revival. There's a reason why we're holding our tent revival on Pentecost weekend, because we want to be prepared. And wouldn't it be great if the rapture happened? I'm not saying it's going to, but wouldn't it be great if the rapture happened during that weekend of Pentecost in May? And so we are going to be prepared if it does. And we are going to be prepared if it doesn't. So these are the things that are happening right now. Let's just check in with Tucker really quick. And you can see the miserable state of American politics. Here's Tucker talking about Joe Biden wanting to raise your taxes while he dodges his.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. If you dutifully watch Joe Biden sputter through his announcement of the administration's $2 trillion infrastructure plan yesterday, you may have been left with some questions. First, and most obviously, is this really about infrastructure? Bridges, roads, airports, things we could actually use? Or is it yet another weird climate scheme slash power grab slash race-based redistribution plan? What exactly is this? And by the way, $2 trillion sounds like a lot for anything. Won't that kind of spending cause hyperinflation? If you print money like it's not worth anything, doesn't the value of that money decline? Normal people may have had questions like those, but thankfully, the New York Times was on the scene to quell all doubt. The New York Times approached Joe Biden's plan with the enthusiasm of Izvestia applauding yet another record Soviet potato harvest. Quote, Biden plan stresses jobs, roads, and growth, read one of the New York Times' four separate front page headlines this morning. $2 trillion for once in a generation fix of infrastructure, read another headline. That's real. Ron Klain, the tech lobbyist turned White House chief of staff, was so grateful for the backup from the Times that he tweeted out the front page this morning. America, let's go win the future, Klain wrote. Let's go win the future, America. What does that future look like? Well, let's be clear from the outset that this plan, whatever its merits, will not make your commute easier. Only about 5% of that $2 trillion will actually go to roads and bridges. So 5% on infrastructure, 95% on social engineering. That's what Joe Biden calls a once-in-a-lifetime infrastructure bill. And he's right about part of it. It is once-in-a-lifetime. If this bill passes, the next generation will live in a very different country. Now, before we tell you what's in the bill, one word about who's going to pay for it. In fact, we only need one word, and the word is you. Taxes are going up dramatically. And they didn't have to, actually. Tax revenues no longer fund the ambitions of our political class. Have you noticed? The Federal Reserve funds them. When politicians want something, they just print the money. It's called modern monetary theory. They've been doing this for years, and it's accelerating. So there's no actual reason to raise taxes anymore for anything. But Joe Biden wants to raise taxes to punish you, and he plans to do that. The administration is calling for a tax increase of about $3 trillion over 10 years. That includes taxes on individual income and investments, as well as on corporations. This would make the first major tax hike in 28 years. But it's actually a much bigger tax hike than anything we saw under the Clinton administration. In 1993, taxes amounted to only about 0.5% of GDP. This plan would come to roughly three times that, about $300 billion a year. That's 1.3% of GDP. So you'd have to go all the way back to 1968 to find a bigger tax increase. It's a big deal. You have any questions? No questions allowed. Joe Biden doesn't want to answer questions, and he doesn't have to because it's an emergency. In emergencies, you do what you're told.
What I'm proposing is a one-time capital investment of roughly $2 trillion in America's future, spread largely over 8 years. Put simply, these are investments we have to make. We can afford to make them. Or put another, we can't afford not to.
All this can be yours, America. For just $2 trillion. We can't afford not to spend $2 trillion, says Joe Biden, like the used car salesman he is at heart. Biden knows he's not going to be paying a dime. People like Joe Biden avoid taxes. Joe Biden avoids taxes, in fact. In 2017 and 18, Joe Biden and his wife dodged payroll taxes on more than $13 million that they got through speaking fees and book royalties. How'd they do that? Did you do that? You probably didn't. They did. The Wall Street Journal reported that the Bidens, quote, classified the income as S corporation profits rather than taxable wages.
So there you have Tucker talking about America absolutely going into debt that is incalculable. And the debt is so grievous that, like Tucker said, they have gone past tax revenue. They are simply creating artificial money. And on a podcast coming up very, very soon, we're going to be talking about the amazing rise of Bitcoin and the digital dollar and what that has to do with the mark of the beast. And these things are happening right now, and it's unbelievably exciting to see these things begin to come to place. So that is going to be the next big thing. You're going to see everything completely and totally digital. On our podcast on May 22nd, we told you about Amazon One. They have created a contactless biometric payment system that uses your hand to buy and sell, just like in Revelation chapter 13. And you are going to see that Bitcoin is going to be a big part when the digital dollar finally comes into view, and it is on its way in as we speak. But you are going to see Bitcoin and digital currency. You are going to see a complete switch over to that. And that is how it has to go in order to have a world that is controlled for a very short period of time by the mark of the beast from Revelation 13, 16 through 18. And with that, we've come to the end of our time for today. I thank you so much for being a part of Now the End Begins and our global family of Bible believers. I am so excited about all the requests for Bibles that we've been getting. And we are so excited to be bringing you the new bookstore. And the new bookstore is opening, Lord willing. Please keep us in prayer for that. That we would continue to make decisions and contacts and connections that would please the Lord. The idea of having a bookstore was something that was a very far away dream. And yet, God has worked things out that we are on the very cusp of opening up the NTEB Bible Believers Bookstore. And it's all made possible because you support this ministry. You pray for us. You donate to us. You share our links. You bring in new people to listen to the podcasts and to the Bible studies. And because of that, St. Augustine, the oldest city in America, a city that gets between 8 and 10 million tourists per year, is about to have its only Christian bookstore. And just imagine the type of witness that is going to go out from that store. America's oldest city, and we are about to have its only Christian bookstore. And please keep that in prayer. We are looking to launch that by May 21st. That is the grand opening date for the new NTEB Bible Believers Bookstore. And with that, we have come to the end of our time. Thank you so much for being a part of Now the End Begins. And Lord willing, we'll see you back here Sunday morning, Resurrection Sunday morning at 11 a.m., for our NTEB House Church Sunday morning service, where we will preach a message on the greatest event in world history, the resurrection of a dead man by his own power from the grave. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Savior, waiting the coming. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. My Savior, vainly they seal the dead, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He rose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He rose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints too.